this paper kind of came out of a conversation that I had with Elena around this forum being an opportunity to talk to professionals that had experience in archive and archival work, and talk about maybe some of the problematics of that. So so this paper is very much located in that place of tension, and Beth alluded to that, as has Rob as well. So I'm going to talk about a particular tension in this project. Well, I'll start by just sort of introducing the project, actually, and then I'll go into a bit more detail. So this is the Slade School of Fine Art. You're probably all very familiar with it, but for those of you who are not, it's located right in the heart of University College London in Bloomsbury. And so it has a particular, just like the Hatton Gallery, it's situated in a university, so that brings a certain context to it. And the Slade Archive Project was launched in the summer of 2012, and it's a joint initiative between UCL Centre for Digital Humanities and the Slade. And it was really driven by a shared curiosity around what could be done with this very rich archive. And there was a particular focus, because it was a pairing with digital humanities, on the digital, what we could do in the digital realm, in the digital world. And I think another sort of impetus came from the director, actually. When she first took over the role of director, she was really intrigued by the idea that the administrative staff were informally receiving bits of archival material. They would often get inquiries as well from alumni, from family historians, people kind of wanting access to the archive. And so I think for her there was a disconnect. This was a bit of a lost opportunity to make links to learn more about our own history, but also to sort of share that with the broader public and researchers. So in this way, we knew that the archive was of great interest, but there was no archivist on staff, and there wasn't going to be in the near future. So that sort of brought up some other problematics, which I'll allude to a little bit in the next few minutes. But this is an example of the kind of material that we would get. This came from an alumna, Susan Glasspool, and this is the staircase of the Slade, the main building there. So in the end, the Slade Archive Project has been conceived as a flexible and collaborative frame under which lots of sub-projects could take place. And these sub-projects could be driven by a particular research interest by someone at UCL or in the Slade, or by available funds. If there was a small pot of funds, seed funds, which is actually how this project got started from the university, that kind of got the ball rolling. And alongside the initial scoping phase, because we really weren't entirely sure what we had, and it was spread across the university, and I'll talk a little bit about that as well, it was really about establishing a digital presence, so just so people know that this archive exists. And this is the Slade Archive page on Facebook, which links up to the Slade Archive, Slade alumni pages. And also, we found some oral history interviews that were conducted in the 1990s. And so we digitized these, and a selection of them are now online as well for people to listen to. And it's a very eclectic little mix of them. So it's a starting point for a sort of oral history project. But I think our most visible activity so far has been involving these photographs, a collection of class photos. That originally, I think the first one was 1931, and pretty much been a good collection. We're missing a few, and they're in various states of repair or disrepair. This is another example, 1953. They're very beautiful panoramic photos. And so this is the website that was developed with Digital Humanities. And so you can see there's a selection of years that you can choose from. And again, it's just a selection. We didn't have enough money to digitize and put them all up there. And we're also missing a few, and those are highlighted in orange there. So we've been asking people to help us identify the people in the photographs. And also, if they've got the extra missing photograph, could we borrow it and make a copy? So far that's happened twice, which is great. And you can see how this works. It's using a face recognition software, and it sort of pops the face up if you hover the mouse over. And then people can leave comments, and they can also add images and draw, you know, hyperlinks to various websites and whatnot. This is not a good example because no one's put anything there. But and I should say this photograph actually is 1905, and it's sort of the exception to the rule. It goes 1905 and then 1931 onwards. right. So. One of the things that's quite interesting around crowdsourcing projects is the question of the quality and consistency of the information that you can gather. And that's something that people in archive studies and information studies and stuff are working on, lots of questions about, that are being generated around that, and this idea of a post-custodial archive. And this is the kind of graphs that the program is generating. And I don't know if some of you have already spotted this. I mean, it's very colorful and sort of looks quite great. But there's already a few issues. I mean, there's some shoulders. So they're not really faces that have been recognized. And then there's some duplication here. So already we're sort of generating these tensions between the excitement and the possibilities offered by this kind of project, and particularly in its capacity to collate, to digitize, to publish, and to really draw links. On the one hand. And then, on the other hand, the stewardship of these contributions and the participation and the caretaking that's required and the responsibilities that it brings about, the responsibilities to kind of correct these mistakes. And so this is my hand. This is another photograph. And these are my sticky notes. They're sort of messages saying that the face recognition software is not working in these instances. And so I sent this off to my colleague in digital humanities, who was to manually go in and sort of annotate them so that it can recognize the actual face. And you can also see that this photograph was sent in the old-fashioned way by post by an alumnus who wanted to participate in the project but found that the technological side of it was really not working for him and you know, it does have many hiccups. So this is, again, an indication of the hand that was needed, the sort of mediating hand to be involved. And another tension that becomes apparent working on this kind of project is the institutional, where the archives are actually physically located. And at UCL, the Slade Archive is dispersed at UCL Records Office. There's some records at UCL Art Museum, in the library and special collections, and also at the Slade, and also off-site elsewhere. So even if these archives were kind of, you know, pulled together, and they're also not catalogued very much, only partially catalogued, and these systems of cataloguing don't really speak to each other. But even if they were fully catalogued and collated, our implementation of these technologies are inviting new contributions, so the nature of the archive is always going to be really unfolding, and it's always going to be a work in progress requiring those kind of mediating hands. And the final point that I'd like to make, the final sort of tension I'd like to draw attention to, is one that I think is quite particular in an art school. And that's the notion of prestige and influence that art schools are often driven by. And the notable figures, the idea of the notable figure. And that those two things sort of driving an awful lot, not all, but an awful lot of art historical inquiry. And in turn, they generate prestige back onto the institution. If you've got the archive papers of so-and-so, isn't that great because it looks good for the institution? And so there's a tension between that, and I think then the majority of staff and the majority of the students whose artistic legacy or contribution is quite possibly less clear, and therefore less public, or they sort of go hand in hand. And so they don't seem to have the same, at first glance, they don't seem to have the same impact on the archive, but their experience can, and of course really does, inform an art historical record. And the tension for me working on this project comes about by my direct engagement with people. And these people are being asked to directly engage in the history, in writing the history of the Slade in new ways. And so this goes at least some way to creating a sort of social history that contributes to a more elaborated art historical record. And as we've seen earlier, Rob was talking about it, and Beth, and you know, engaging with people and opening up the boxes and saying, what's in here? I mean, having those conversations is incredibly fruitful and really, really fascinating. But at the same time, in doing a project like the Slate Archive project, we're also creating or possibly re-establishing relationships. So we're, in a way, we're also inviting expectations, and we're setting up new platforms for these relationships to take place. And one example that comes to mind is the project has been read by some people as an invitation to send in a lot of material, or even just small amounts of material. And it turns out that there's not really a place in the institutional record for those, in terms of an invitation to an exhibition with a little bit of a back catalogue about someone's work gets sent to the archive person at the Slade. What do you do with that material? Where does that sit? It's a really interesting question. And so I think this tension sort of peppers the archive, and it's prompted me to kind of ask about, it's asking about motivations. Why are we interested in the archive? And that goes for myself as well. Beyond its intrinsic value for research, what else is going on there? And I think for some, the project supports a rather nostalgic or romantic vision of the Slade. And the art school, in this case, would be held up as a kind of golden age in an artist's life, allowing them to have really great epiphanies and stretch up creatively, perhaps leave their small village and spread their wings in the big city. These kind of narratives pepper the archive. And this is an example of that. It's in special collections at UCL. And it's a memoir by a woman, Jessie Hall, in 1924. And she studied at the Slade in 1888. And subsequently wrote this sort of reflective piece on how her 1 year at the Slade, before her mother got ill and she could no longer attend, she had to caretake, was the happiest year of her life. So it's very, very nostalgic. And this is also a theme that comes up when people are doing family history research, which is quite interesting. I hadn't thought that this hadn't even occurred to me. But they get in touch and they say, you know, my great-grandmother studied the Slade, I'm sure she did, these are her dates, and we have no record of this person. And that happens surprisingly quite a lot, actually. So there's a tension for me in hopes and aspirations and potentially stories that were lost or potentially people that actually never studied at the Slade, but the story got passed down that they did, or they got confused with Wittenberg College. And for others, engagement with the project might not be so much about nostalgia, but actually potentially a bit of disappointment or expressing some kind of regret or distrust with the school or their experiences. And maybe an engagement with the archive is about asking for some kind of closure or revisiting something that was a rather difficult period in their life for one reason or another. And so this project is, in a way, unearthing or sort of activating evidence of relationships which are now, in a sense, institutionalized ones, but that these relationships maybe have been harmed or damaged in some way. And as a mediator in this context, I think I'm really aware of my desire to kind of soften some of those edges and smooth over the textures to help create a project that is enjoyable and fruitful and full of research potential.